What's up, guys, and welcome back to the Pickleball Connection podcast. I'm Danae.
And I'm Barrett.
We're super stoked to be hanging out with you guys today. Today, we're going to be doing a segment that we call CTN or Cruza News. This is where we look at all the latest pickleball news and chat about it. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Everything you want is right here. We gon' give them what they came for. We gon' take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change, yeah.
So we're going to have a shorter episode today, kind of see how you guys like it. But our first topic, it comes from The Kitchen's Facebook page. It was also reported a couple other places. Honestly, it's kind of a fun, lighthearted topic, and it got a lot of engagement. But basically, I'm sure a lot of you saw this post. This is what it says. 3D printing startup nears breakthrough for quieter pickleball. And it goes on to say that this pickleball is like 10 decibels quieter than the standard ball. The comments were quite hilarious. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually read you some of these comments.
Okay.
And then I kind of want to get your thoughts on this. Okay. So here's what some people had to say. The question is, how loud are current pickleballs? And a bunch of people are debating back and forth. Our current pickleball is actually loud. Then it goes on to say it's going to be a higher price for sure. This person said, saw those in the toy section at Petco. This person said, nothing like the POC or the
POC. Ooh, that was pretty good.
Thanks. Nothing like the POC. I can't do it again. Of a pickleball hitting the paddle in the morning. I love the sound of pickleballs. It's therapeutic. Just wear earplugs. I love the wiffle ball. I like the thwack. This person spells it T-H-W-O-C-K. Thwack.
Thwack.
I love the thwack of a pickleball. This person said, so you'll be required to play with quieter balls and you'll the Gen 3 paddles. So the paddle gets louder, ball gets quieter.
I'm crying.
This person said, preserve the pop. The pop is part of the charm of the sport. This person said, what are we going to forget the noise about the balls? What are we going to do about leaf blowers, lawn mowers, all the things that happen at parks? So people have a lot of people are like, who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Most people that I've seen in this post are like, don't really care that the ball's getting quieter. But I want to hear from you. I want to also hear from the listeners today if loud pickleballs, if you think that this is actually an issue. But before I do, somebody posted a chart. This is a decibels chart. I didn't know anything about this, but it basically, for some perspective, when somebody's whispering, it's 30 decibels.
Okay.
When somebody's having normal conversation, it's like 60 decibels. But the difference between 10 decibels, so this is like the difference between these balls versus a normal ball, is literally the difference between an electric toothbrush and a washing machine. So an electric toothbrush is 60 decibels.
That's a lot. That's a big difference.
A 70 is a washing machine or a dishwasher. So it's kind of like a lot of people are saying it's like, people are mixed on it. People think it's going to be like a big difference, and some people think it's not a huge difference.
Maybe I just think our washing machine's so loud.
Yeah, that's probably true. But it says it's also the difference between normal breathing and a mosquito buzzing. So anyways, we're rambling a little bit. But when it comes to a quieter ball, we've heard things about quieter paddles. We've heard noise complaints. There's been legitimate issues in parks with cities banning pickleball. We've heard stories, we've seen news articles where pickleball gets kind of outlawed in residential areas because people get annoyed. Do you think quieter balls is going to be a thing? Do you think it's a solution? Do you think, like a lot of these people are, do you think that loud noise and the sound of pickleballs is currently even a problem?
I mean, it's hard to tell. I'm giving a very biased answer because I'm obsessed with pickleball and I love pickleball and I love going to a park and hearing pickleballs. Like, it makes me happy.
Yeah, like right when you get out of the parking or get out of your car in the parking lot, you start walking up, you hear the...
It's like dopamine hits when I hear the sound of pickleball. But
true addict.
I know. I have an issue, which I'm sure you guys all do too. But here's where I do have a little bit of a heart. You know, for example, we play at a court that is like smack up against houses.
Yeah, it's like in a neighborhood, basically.
In a neighborhood. And the neighborhood's had a lot of friction with the pickleball community because of the noise. Now, here's my biggest thing that I'm going to say. I get it, but I also...
You would miss the sound.
Well, no. Here's the thing. I get it if it's like ungodly early or ungodly late.
Right.
But at the same point, I'm like, you are at a park. Like, there are people, kids playing. There's a dog park. Like, a park just has noise. So I'm like, okay, if it's happening after, like, I think the lights shut off at 9 p.m. at this park. So you can't even play anymore. So like if it's after 9 p.m. or if it's like, if it's like starting at like 6 a.m., yeah, I'd feel pretty bad.
Like, yeah. I mean, I know we live next to like a pretty busy street downtown kind of area and it can get kind of loud at times. And also like this person said, you know, at times people have gotten annoyed with a lawnmower or something early in the morning or, you know, people are just going to get annoyed. But I think the thing is that like pickleball's growing so fast. So is this a problem for the growth of pickleball? Meaning would more courts be put in more areas if you didn't have to worry about noise? Or is this something that it just, it's not that big of an issue?
It's hard to say, right? Like, I think it depends who you talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I just think a park is going to have noise no matter what. Again, you have lawnmowers, you have leaf blowers, you have like all this other stuff that is a very real thing at these at parks. So it's hard. I'm up in the air. I get both sides. I think that you really can't be unreasonable like you are, you know, but I also get it. If people are playing pickleball at like 5 a.m. and I have a house right there, you know, actually maybe I would be excited about it, but like
you're a rare breed.
A normal person probably wouldn't like
that. I mean, I know that you and I have talked about someday, you know, wanting a house in an area, you know, where there's enough land where we could build our own court in the backyard. That's kind of the dream. My biggest fear with that is we don't really know our neighbors yet.
Our neighbors hate us.
Well, our neighbors outlaw us and like, will there be animosity? You know, I know that we have some older friends, but they're, you know, really good friends in the Orlando area. They have a court, but you know, there's a good distance between the houses, but not like a ton. But their neighbors, I think they've talked with their neighbors about it. They seem to be pretty cool about it. And I think that they kind of had some rules that were put in about like not playing
time
before a certain time or after a certain time, which I think is fair. But like, I do worry about that. Like, I'm going to, you know, find the perfect property someday, our dream house, be able to put in our own court and have a pool and, you know, have the dream, right? But maybe the neighbors won't like it. So I can see like the growth and I can see, you know, the benefits to a quieter ball. But do we think this will ever like become mainstream? I don't think it will. I don't know.
I don't know either. It's hard to say. Like, it, and my other question is, does the ball play the same? Like, is it going to be, can you hear something? Because you need to hear something, in my opinion, because that's a big part of the game.
And I was reading, I kind of got lost in the comments of this post, just reading them. And somebody brought up a good point. Like, apparently the ball, you know, when they've tested it, it bounces very similar. But just because it bounces similar, does it feel the same? Mm-hmm. You know, like we're so used to the ball feeling a certain way off the paddle, you know, that's kind of one of the most addictive parts to like of the game to me, I think, is like you lay in bed at night and you just can just picture the pop off the paddle. You know, it just, it's so fun to like crush the ball or to hit a really like crisp shot. So I don't know. Like, yeah, maybe the ball bounces the same, but does it feel the same against the paddle? Does that kind of change even how people make paddle? I don't know. It's a weird thing to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, guys, let us know. What do you think about quieter balls? Do you think noise is an issue? Do you think parks, for the expansion of the game, do you think as a whole, do you think people would benefit from a quieter ball? Or do you think there's other solutions like a quieter paddle? Or do you think people just need to suck it up and stop being babies about it? Let us know in the comments.
Comment below.
Hey guys, real quick, we do want to briefly mention Selkirk backpacks. We really love the backpacks that Selkirk has put out. They're really functional, really versatile. They look really sharp. We use them when we play and we use them when we travel.
Actually, last time we were in the airport, we packed our Selkirk backpacks for basically our luggage. And the person behind us was like, whoa, like those are such cool backpacks. Like it's awesome.
They're like, where'd you get them?
Yeah, it's just, they're super functional. They have a bunch of different sizes. I take stuff for work and mine and bring it to a coffee shop. I mean, they're awesome.
Yeah guys, so if you're in the market for a backpack, there's all different sizes, all different colors. Head on over to selkirk.com and get yours today.
All right, you ready for the next one?
Yeah, let's go to the next one.
Okay. This next one's going to address some rec play issues, okay? So
we love rec play issues.
I love rec play. Rec play is just a jungle, man. So, like, hear this person out. This person says, what is good etiquette here? I've come across a few players where it's really difficult to determine if they are imparting spin on the ball before hitting a serve. Now, really quickly before I go on to read the rest of the question, if you do not know, it is illegal to impart spin to the ball before you serve, meaning with your hand. Okay, you can impart spin with the paddle when the paddle makes contact with the ball, but you can't put spin on the ball with your hand. Okay, I'm going to continue reading. This person says, I usually let it slide because I want to practice returning difficult serves, and I feel a lot better if I can cause a fault on their end on my return. If anything, I wait till the end of the game to comment. However, I was waiting in the queue the other day, and I noticed a player throw the ball down to the ground for a drop serve. Side note, this is also illegal. Okay, continue.
If you're going to drop the ball, if you're going to drop the ball in a drop serve, you cannot force the ball
down. It's all gravity.
Just got to let it go.
You just got to let
it go. Can't throw it up. Can't throw it down.
Yeah. So illegal. This person continues on and says, I never played against him due to how the paddle rack was working. So I didn't say anything. However, given the chance I did play him, what would be the best approach? I'm assuming he just didn't know because his play level wasn't that great. LOL. But would it make a difference in the approach? That is a blatant illegal serve. But what if things are different and the player was consistently hitting above the waist? What about other illegal serves? I'm going to call out an overhead serve for sure. But besides that, what's good etiquette?
Yeah, this is interesting. I think, you know, have you dealt with this in rec play? Like people with clearly illegal serves?
I definitely see illegal serves in rec play. And I mean, I don't think it's quite as common since we've transitioned to probably playing more high level. Mm-hmm. Like most higher level players know what's illegal and what's not. I think you probably see this even more at the beginner intermediate level.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, I don't know if you remember this, but not too long ago, a couple days ago, maybe we were playing actually against a team and I didn't really think it was maybe borderline, but I didn't think anything of it. This guy's serve and his partner called him out and yeah. His partner like stopped and he was like, he like looked at me and he like signaled and he was like, was that illegal? And I was like, maybe, I don't know. And he was like, and basically he had a conversation with his partner and that was an interesting thing to see because like his teammate was the one that pointed it out. I kind of barely even didn't notice it.
Yeah.
And the guy was really nice about it. He was like, oh, you know, like don't want to have an illegal serve. So keep watching me. Like, let me know if it's illegal. I want to get better. I want to fix it.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But I think if somebody doesn't really know that their serve is illegal, I think that's a whole different scenario. I think, yes, you pull them aside. Maybe you let them know. I think I've actually approached it in the sense of just giving them a scenario after the game. It's like, hey, man, have you ever played a tournament before? And they're like, no. Well, and I say, like, well, if you ever play a tournament before, just something to keep in mind that, you know, a ref could call you for contacting the ball above your waist on your serve. So that's just something to keep in mind if you ever play a tournament. That way it's not so much like you did this.
Yeah.
You have a clear on it, advantage over me. Like, it's like more like, hey, if you ever play a tournament, just keep an eye on this, because I don't want you to lose a point. You're kind of for them and not against them. That may be a way to approach it.
Yeah. It's interesting. I've talked about this on my personal platform, All Things Pickleball. Go check it out. And I said on there, it's rec play. I usually don't say anything because I usually don't. But it was interesting because the responses I got on that specific topic or video, a lot of people said, I want someone to call me out. I want to make sure that I'm doing it right. And it was like overwhelming responses of people saying, I want to be corrected if I'm doing something wrong. And that actually really changed my perspective, because I realized, oh yeah, it might not be a big deal to me, but a lot of people want to do things correct. Like,
right.
It kind of solidified this thing in my mind of like, oh man, if I do see someone serving illegally, I actually do now realize a lot of people don't want to be serving illegally and they want to know the rules and they want to do it the right way. And so I've kind of changed my approach after that dialogue. And now I'm like, okay, I would approach it probably similar to you, either after the game or whatever, and just say, hey, like, whatever, this is the issue, XYZ.
Yeah. So like, I think that's a good point. You know, like when it comes to the serve, you might be out there and you might be like, I don't want to cause conflict, so I'm not going to say anything. But there could be people that legitimately want to know.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
you could be afraid to give someone feedback, but sometimes people want feedback if it's presented in a good way.
Especially if it's like just blatantly illegal. I think that was the issue. Like, line calls get iffy, right? Like, but like when something's blatantly like you don't bounce, like you can't throw down the ball or you can't contact it above your waist, like that's a very blanket illegal. So
right, absolutely. And also, I didn't even make this connection when we went over this topic, but depending on what day this podcast comes out, I believe on Wednesday the 24th or 25th, is that right? I'm looking at the calendar. Okay, Wednesday the 24th. So depending on when you're watching this, July 24th, Wednesday, we're going to playpickleball.com is a channel that we do a lot of content for. We do a YouTube video comes out every Wednesday. So every Wednesday, there's a new video release on playpickleball.com. Next week's or July 24th on Wednesday, the video that's being released is your serve legal?
And it's good.
So if it breaks down serve rules, it goes over everything you need to know if you have a question on if your serve is legal or not. So if you're watching this Wednesday, July 24th or beyond, go watch Is Your Serve Legal, playpickleball.com, check it out, subscribe to the YouTube channel, because there's going to be more and more content, more and more even creators that we're going to bring in. It's going to be a good platform if you want to get to the next level or if you're just starting off in pickleball. Side note, side plug, I didn't even make that connection until now. But anyways, guys, like always, let us know in the comments, have you come across somebody with an illegal serve? And what did you do about it? Have you seen any conflict or, you know, fights or anything on the court arise because...
Tell us about your fights.
Yeah, tell us about, you know, all the pickleball goss. We want to hear about it. So, but yeah, do you have any other thoughts? You want to go to the last topic for the day?
Let's go to the last one.
Cool. So our last topic is not something that we found on Reddit, or this last one that we had was from Reddit. The one before that was from Facebook. This one doesn't come from any sort of forum, but it is a question that was submitted on a previous podcast. So I'm going to get to it in a second. But before I get to this one, I want to point out somebody did ask a question on the last podcast about cheating and about the Andre Daescu thing. Was it fair that he got punished when some other pros have previously admitted to cheating and they didn't get punished? And I just wanted to address that and tell you, if you're watching this podcast, we did see your comment, we did see your question. Go back a couple weeks back. We actually broke down our thoughts on that whole situation. So there is a previous podcast you can listen to on that. Just want you to know that. But yeah, I do think the Andre Daescu thing, you know, they had to draw a line somewhere and it started with Andre. And that could be unfortunate for him, whether he cheated purposely or not. I don't really know, and it's not something I think I'll ever know. But I think I've heard he's a great guy. I think he was put in a tough situation and he got punished, and the line had to be drawn somewhere. So that's my little summary, but go watch the previous podcast if you're the person that submitted that question. Moving on to this question. This came in from our last podcast, and it actually is going to take us back to rec play a little bit. So people love their rec play, but basically someone said this, how do you handle it in maybe a league night, tournament or rec play, any sort of play? How do you handle it when spectators make line calls? So what this guy is asking is there's people on the side that are just watching the game and they chime in, because the rule in pickleball right now is you call your own lines, right? The players call their own lines. But what do you think about it when like a spectator or someone that's on the side were to try to call a line? Does that bother you? Or do you think that that's kind of like interference of the flow or the integrity of the game?
You know, it's hard to say. I can't, and maybe it has happened, but like, I've never played in a tournament that I've had overwhelmingly annoying spectators. And I've been to some tournaments where there's like definitely some like trash talk, but it doesn't really bother me. And I think you can't let it bother you. Like, I think you should ignore it as a player. I think you call your lines the best of your ability. When in doubt, it's not out. I think you just abide by those rules and don't let the crowd sway you. I think that's the only fair way to do it. I think, you know, again, I've never been in a position where I feel like it's genuinely affected me. I don't know. Have you?
Yeah, I did think of one. I don't know if you even caught this, but we were actually playing a tournament together recently. Our last match. There was a ball that I called, there was a ball that was close, and I was closest to it on the court. There was a shadow coming in on the court, so I was like, that looked 50-50 to me. And I immediately turned to you and I was like, hey, like, what did you see? Before you answered, the dad of the player that we were playing against, like, looks right at me and points, says, oh man, that wasn't even close. It was way in. And I was like, okay, I get that you're the dad. I get that you have probably a high value for justice, but like, I'm asking my partner, and this has nothing to do with you. You might have seen it, but this is our job to call the ball. And you know, in the moment, I just kind of deferred to you. I think you also said, you either said like, yeah, I think it was in, or you said like, I'm not quite sure. And the other team was very adamant it was in. So I was like, okay, you know, just take it. You know, I didn't kind of make a big deal about it, but I remember thinking back to that moment after the game and I kind of got a little mad. I kind of like was thinking like, I don't know, like that guy didn't need to chime in. And obviously he's the person's dad. He doesn't need to like,
you got a bias going, you know?
Yeah. He's clearly biased. Right. So I get in situations, it can be like kind of one of those, like, who asked you situations, like. And I think that it's probably right for spectators to remain unbiased and just let players call their lines, especially if it's like a tournament, or, you know, that's the job, to not to defer to the crowd, but to defer to a ref. Like, you never see a pro match where they ask the fans,
right,
was this in or out? Right. So I think that there's a line to be drawn there, but I think that in rec play and things like that, I mean, there's certain times also where I've been playing where like there'll be people waiting on the side, like watching our game, waiting to get in a game. And I'll like look at them right before I make the call, and they'll kind of like nod their head and be like, yeah, I was in. Okay. And I'll give it back to them. So like, I get that if it's just rec play, you know, that's I don't think it's that big of an issue, but I think if it bothers you, I think it's like, yeah, how do you address that? You know, like, how do you have that conversation?
You can't really address it though. Like, a tournament's a tournament. People are allowed to say whatever they want to say.
There's also a tournament I was watching you play women's doubles. It had nothing to do with the line call, but there was a discrepancy on the score. Like, they were adamant that this was Remember when I kind of I got into it with the opposing team's boyfriend.
Barrett got in a fight at my tournament.
Yeah, basically, I was like, I was confident that they got three serves. Like, it should have been a side out. And so I was like vocal about it. And the player you were playing turned to me and said, like, this doesn't involve you. Stay out of it. And then me and her boyfriend kind of got in a little, we'll call it a heated tiff. We resolved it. We talked later. We were fine. Probably won't ever be friends with them, but we're fine, you know. But yeah, I think in certain situations, it's probably not okay to give your input on the game. But I think if it's a very chill, lax situation and you know the people and everyone's there just having a good time, I think it's a different situation.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you can never control what other people do. So don't let it get to you. Like, you can always control just you. So that's what I would just say in tournament settings. It's just powerful. Control you.
I like that. I like that. But guys, let us know in the comments, have you encountered this? Yeah, just let us know kind of your...
And how do you handle it?
Yeah, how do you handle it? Let us know for sure. But guys, like we took a whole segment on, obviously this is a shorter podcast today, but we took a whole segment on someone's question that they submitted. So please, guys, go ahead and submit your questions in the comments below. However you're consuming this podcast, we usually pull questions from the Selkirk TV YouTube page if that's how you're choosing to watch this podcast. But we'd love to answer your questions on future podcasts. And like always, be sure to give us a like, a follow, share this podcast with a friend. It really helps it grow. We plan to, as this podcast grows, bring in really awesome guests and make it better and better.
And if you don't have a question, if you have topics you want us to talk about, leave them in the comments. We appreciate you guys.
All right. We'll see you on the next one.